Okay. Parshas Vayechi. Pasuk says, when Yaakov is speaking to Yosef, the pasuk says, "Vani nosati lecha Shechem achad al achecha," and I have given you one portion more than your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'amayri, that I have taken from the hand of the Amayri, b'charbi uvakashti, with my sword and with my arrow. The Mefarshim have difficulty with these words, v'ani nasati l'cho shchem achad alachecha. Why does Yaakov use the word shchem to describe a portion? I have given you one portion more than your brothers. So Rashi says that Shechem literally means the city of Shechem that became Yosef's portion. That's where Yosef is buried. But according to that, the word achad doesn't really fit in. It should have said, "Vani nasati l'cho Shechem." I've given you Shechem. What does that mean? What does it mean when it says, "Vani nasati l'cho Shechem achad alachecha"? I have given you one Shechem over your brothers. The next pasuk reads, "Vayikra Yaakov el Bonav." Yaakov called his children. Vayomer, and he said, "Hey, osfu v'agidu lechem, gather together, and I will tell you what will happen to you at the end of the days." Rashi says, Rashi, it's a Gemara in Masechtas Pesachim, Daf Nun Vav. Rashi brings, "V'agidu lechem," Yaakov wanted to reveal to his children when the end of the Golas would be. Because Yaakov, the Golas is a Kates. Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates, the end of the Golas, when Mashiach will come. Nistalkim imani Shechina, and the Shechina departed from him. So Rashi only brings that portion of the Gemara, and I will tell you what the Gemara continues, that Yaakov immediately suspected that one of his Shema Yesh Bizari Psul, perhaps there is in one of my children, perhaps one of Yaakov was concerned that maybe one of his children was invalid for the presence of the Shechina, and that is why the Shechina departed. And as soon as his children realized that his father suspected them, they all said Shema Yisrael, which means "Hear Yisrael," and they're talking to their father. "Hear Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." We all believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the Gemara continues that his children said "Kishem She'ein Belibcha Elo Echad," just like in your heart there is only one. "Kach Ein Belibenu Elo Echad," so also in our heart there is no more than one. And we need to understand, why is it that they had to reiterate after they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which seems to be a sufficient declaration of their Amuna? Why did they after that have to reiterate Kishem She'ein Belibcha Ela Echad Kach Ein Belibenu Ela Echad, just like in your heart there's only one, so also in our heart there's one? And the Gemara continues to say that when Yaakov heard this from his children, he said, "Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusay La'olam Vod." This is why the Gemara says, this is why we say Shema, this is why we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusay La'olam Vod after we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, even though Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusay La'olam Vod is not mentioned in the Torah. So we need to know what that means when we say, what does it mean when we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusay La'olam Vod, and why was that Yaakov's response to the declaration of his children of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, K'shem She'ein Belibcha Ela Echad, Now, to understand this, I'd like to go back to Parshas Miketz, to Psukim we've expounded on in the past. It says that Vayizker Yosef is a chalemes ashecholam lahem, when the brothers came down to Mitzrayim and they did not recognize Yosef, and Yosef did recognize them. So the pasuk says Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamt about them. Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them, Meraglim atem, you are spies. Lirois as ervas ha'oretz basem, you have come to see the nakedness of the land. So we need to understand, first of all, why did Yosef suspect them of, out of all things, why did he suspect them specifically to be spies, meraglim? And why did he refer to Mitzrayim as Ervas Ha'oretz, the nakedness of the land? Now, the pasuk continues that the brothers answered Yosef, Vayemru Elav, Lo Yadayni, no, my master, Vavodecha Ba'olish Baroichal, your servants have come to gather food. Kulanu b'nei ishechad nachnu, we are all the sons of one man. Kenema nachnu, we are innocent. Lo yhoyu avadecha maragdim, your servants are not spies. So first of all, it would have been sufficient had they just answered, no, my master, your servants have come to gather food. Why did they have to continue and say, we are all the sons of one man? How does that come into the picture? How is that relevant to his suspicion of them being spies? And Yosef answers them, Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, Loi, no, ki ervas ha'oretz basam lirois, you have come to see the nakedness of the land. What did Yosef see in their words that he was able to determine with such clarity and such certainty that they were spies, that they were coming to see the nakedness of the land? And they respond to Yosef, Vayomru, Shnei Masar Avadecha Acham Anachni, we are 12, your servants are 12 brothers, Bnei Ish Echad Beretz Kanan, we are the sons of one man in Eretz Kanan, Mine Akotan Asavino Ayom, the youngest is with our father, V'ha'echad Einenu, and one of us is not here. That was referring to Yosef. Why are they, what is pshat in this whole dialogue? How does this, once again, how does this have any relevance to his suspicion of them being spies? Why would he care about how many brothers they are and that they're all the sons of one father and that their youngest is at home? Why did they bring this up? And Yosef answers them again. Vayomer aleihem Yosef, Hu asher dibarti aleichem lemor. That's exactly what I was saying to you. Meraglim atem, you're meraglim. Where is it anywhere in their words that they are spies? So in order to understand this all, I'd like to borrow a theme from Hanukkah, and even though Hanukkah is a bit behind us, nevertheless, it wasn't that long ago. Maral, Maral brings that the Yevonim had a special interest in destroying the Heichal, the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why we find, we say Be'al HaNissim, we say, Timu es Heichalecha. They contaminated your Heichal. And we find in the Gemara also, it says, Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. They contaminated all the oils on the Heichal. So we need to understand, why is it that the Yevanim were picking specifically on the Heichel? Maharal also brings in numerous places, and by Chanukah he also brings it, that the number 8 symbolizes supernatural. Everything that is within nature, says the Maharal, is represented by the number 7. The world was created in 7 days. There's a constant cycle. 7 days is a week. Everything within nature is represented by the number 7, and therefore the number 8 represents that is above nature. And this is how the Maharal answers the famous question of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef asks, why is Hanukkah 8 days? Hanukkah should only be 7 days, because the miracle was only for 7 days. There was enough oil for 1 day, so there was only a miracle for 7 days. The Yontif should only be for 7 days. And Maharal answers that the Yevonim believed that the control of this lowly world was in the hands of nature. That it was, they believed that it was beneath God to have any connection with this physical world, and therefore this physical world is totally controlled by nature. That was the theory of the Yevanim. Therefore, when we overcame the Yevanim, which means that we were able to maintain our emuna. We were able to maintain our emuna that Hashem controls this world as well, and that everything in this world is with divine providence, with Hashgacha Pratis. And we are controlled by a force that is above nature. Therefore, the Yontif is specifically for 8 days to represent this concept of above nature, that we believe that the entire world is controlled by the Rabbeinu Shalom that is above nature, and the world is not, Chas V'Shalom, controlled by nature. That is what the Maharal says. And I would like to perhaps take a little bit of a spin on that number 8. But using the Maharal's terminology. And that is that we know, Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, it's actually a Chazal, that the purpose of creation of the world is that Hashem desired to have a dwelling place down below. Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'as lo'dira b'tachtonim. Hashem desired to have a dwelling place below. He therefore created the physical world. And the Rabbeinu Shlom desires to live and have a dwelling place within this physical world. Unlike the theory of the Yevanim, that they would believe that this would be something that is beneath the Rabbeinu Shlom. Now, as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the Heichel, the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, was the place of Hashem's, of the dwelling place of the Shekhinah in this world. And therefore the Yevanim, that could not tolerate this concept of Hashem's connection to this physical world, it was therefore that they found the Heichel as a threat to their philosophy, and therefore they sought to contaminate and destroy the Heichel. That is the purpose of the timus hechalecha. That's why they just sought to contaminate the hechal. And when the malchus of the chashmenoim was able to overcome them, they established that we should specifically light our menorahs in lamata me'asara tefachim l'chatchila, when it's supposed to light the menorah in a low place, lower than 10 tefachim, to emphasize and to demonstrate that we believe that the Shechina is in the lowest of places, that it is chas v'shalom not beneath the Rabbeinu Shleilam to control this physical world, that Hashem dwells in every aspect of this physical world. And to take the Maharal's thought a bit deeper, the reason they established that this Yontif should be 8 days is that the set of eight is from 1 to 8. Now the Maharal says that the number 8 represents that is above nature, which is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And if that's the case, the first of the eight, let's say if we would spell it out, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin Ches, so Aleph would be the lowest level possible, Beis being a little bit higher, finally Ches being the highest. So this combination of 8 days, which is from 1 to 8, represents this concept of Shechina B'Tachtoinim, this concept of the Shechina, which is the Rabbeinu Shlem, which is represented by the 8th day being connected to the first 7 days, which are from 1 to 7, all the different levels of this world. Nowadays, that the Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately not standing, so this concept of Shechina B'Tachtoinim, this concept of the Shechina dwelling in this lowly world, which is the purpose of creation, this only comes to being through our recognition and our understanding that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam conducts the entire Bria, the entire world, from on all levels, from the biggest and most important creations in the world to the most insignificant creations in the world. Everything is controlled by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Hashgacha Pratis, there's divine providence for every little aspect of this world. By our believing that, having faith and pure emuna, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is involved in every aspect of this world, we are fulfilling the purpose of creation, which was that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted to dwell in this world. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted us to recognize that he dwells in this world. Now, there happens to be a machlokes rishonim. There's a dispute among the first rishonim, whether there is Hashgacha Pratis, whether there is divine providence on areas of Daimim Tzameach and Chai, meaning on all aspects of creation that are not human. Everyone agrees that there is divine providence for human beings and everything that relates to human beings. But whether there is a whether divine providence relates to animals, which is chai, and things that sprout, which is tzemeach, and still objects, which is doimim, there are rishonim that hold that there is divine providence for everything in this world. And this was the opinion of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was known to say, Ashtroi riktzich nishton ort, un ashgocha el yayne, that meaning a straw will not move from one place to the other without a heavenly decree. There are other Rishonim that hold that Ashgacha Pratis is only for human beings and does not apply to Daimim Tzemeach Chai, the small areas. That they seem to hold that is in control of nature, and that is not something that that is subject to divine providence. My father Zangezint always tells the story of the toldus, which was one of the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. Before he became connected to the Baal Shem Tov, he was actually among the Misnagdim. He opposed the way of the Baal Shem Tov, and he was once in the presence of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov taught this message that there is nothing in the world nothing in the world happens without Hashgacha. Actually, this story was about, that story was about something else. No, I'm not going to, forget it. Ditch that. That story was about something else. That was another shita of the Baal Shem Tov, that a message can come through anyone, even a non-Jew. That's not related to our subject. There is a song that was written by Yontef Erlich that he talks about a tzaddik that was walking along the path, and he sees a leaf fall off a tree and lands on the ground. So in this song, Yontef Erlich says that the tzaddik asks the leaf, "Leaf, leaf, why did you fall off the tree?" So the leaf answers, "It wasn't my choice. The branch shook and I fell off." So the tzaddik turns to the branch and says, "Branch, why did you shake the leaf off?" So the branch says, "It wasn't my choice. The wind blew me. And I shook and the leaf fell off." So the tzaddik turns to the wind and says, "Wind, why did you shake the branch so that it dropped the leaf?" So the wind says, "It wasn't my choice. The malach told me, the angel told me to blow, so I blew. So I blew and the branch shook and the leaf fell off." So tzaddik turns to the malach and says, "Malach, why did you tell the wind to blow?" So the malach says, "It wasn't my choice. Hashem told me to tell the wind to blow." So the tzaddik finally turns to the Rebbeinu Shalom and says, "Rebbeinu Shalom, why did you tell the malach to tell the wind to blow?" So the Rebbeinu Shalom says to the tzaddik, lift up that leaf." The tzaddik walks over, picks up the leaf, and there's a little worm. So the Rebbeinu Shleim says to the tzaddik, "The worm was in the sun, and it was very hot. And the worm called out to me. and said, Rabbeinu Shloilem, I'm hot. So I told the Malach to tell the wind to blow to shake the tree, so the tree would shake the leaf off and the leaf would land on the worm to protect it from the sun. The Baal Shem Tov believed, and this is the opinion of Rishonim, that there is nothing in the world that happens, even a leaf coming off the tree and landing in a specific place, that all is Hashgacha Elyona, that all is with divine providence. Nothing in the world happens without divine providence. And yet, there are Rishonim that hold otherwise. They hold there's only divine providence for human beings. Now, I'd like to suggest that perhaps this was the dispute between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef held, like the Baal Shem Tov, that this concept of Shechinah B'Tachtonim is, that what Shechinah B'Tachtonim means really B'Tachtonim. The Shechinah is involved in all areas of physicality. Even in areas of Daimim, Tzimeach, and Chai, not only in Medaber, which is the human being, but even in areas of Daimim, still objects, Tzimeach, sprouting objects, and Chai, and animals, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is involved in every area. And Yosef received this b'Kabbalah from his father, as Chazal tell us, that Yaakov taught everything that he knew to Yosef. But the Shivtei Kah refused to accept this. They refused to accept that Rabbeinu Shloim would be involved in areas as small as Daimut Sameach and Chai. And they believed, like the other Rishonim, that these matters, the Rabbeinu Shloim has appointed nature to take care of those matters. And Yosef had dreams. Yosef dreamt that the day will come that his brothers will bow down to him, meaning that his brothers will concede to this opinion of his that he received from his father, that Shechinah B'Tachtonim means that the Rebbeinu Shloim was involved in every aspect of Tachtonim, in Daimon, Sameach, Chai, and Medaber. Now, perhaps we can say that this emuna, this faith that we have, this faith that Yosef HaTzadik had, that Hashgacha, that divine providence applies to everything in the world, is hinted to in our declaration of emuna, that we say at least twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The word Echad is made up of three letters, Aleph, Ches, Dalet. Now we've already explained what Aleph, Ches means. Aleph, Ches means that there's a connection between Ches, which represents the Rabbeinu Shloim, the supernatural, the one that is above nature. As we said from the Maharal, the letter 8, the number 8 represents supernatural, the one that is above nature. So the Ches represents the Rabbeinu Shloim. The Aleph, which is the first and the lowest level, represents the lowest level in this world. So the combination of Aleph Ches represents the concept of Shechinah B'Tachtonim. That the Shechinah, which is represented by the Ches, is even connected to the Aleph. But yet, that belief can mean that Hashem is connected to, yes, to this lowly world, but it doesn't necessarily mean that He's connected to all matters of this world. Comes along the Dalet. The Dalet represents all matters of this world. There are four levels in this world, as we mentioned. Doimim, Tzimeach, Chai, Medaber. The Dalet tells us that the Aleph Ches, that the combination of of the Shechina B'tachtonim is on all four levels of this world. That is Echad. And when we say Shema Yisrael, hear Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is Echad, that means that we believe that Hashem, which is represented by the Ches, is even connected to the Aleph, which is the lowest of levels, in a way of Dalid, meaning that he's involved in all four levels of this world. According to what I've just mentioned, someone who does not believe in the Dalid of Echad, because such a person only believes, yes, they believe that Shechina B'tachtonim, but Shechina B'tachtonim, they believe, has a limit, that it only applies to human beings. They do not believe in the Dalid. Such a person would be left with the Aleph Ches, without the Dalid, which would be Ach. And we'll come back to that. Now, when a person attributes matters of this world to nature, and a person doesn't believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls all matters of this world, such a person, I'd like to suggest, is called a miragel. The word miraglim comes from the word regilus, which is something that is commonplace and habitual. That's what nature is. Nature is a things that are habitual and commonplace, happenstance, that is all represented by regilus. And someone who attributes matters of this world to happenstance, that the leaf can fall off the tree just as a happenstance, that is, he's attributing it to regilus. Such a person is called a miragel. Another point, and that is that someone who believes, or someone who doesn't believe, that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls every aspect in this world, they are indicating that there are areas of this world that are bereft of godliness. And those places would be called Ervas Ha'oretz. It is the nakedness of the land. It is places in the land that are naked of godliness. Now, we can go back to the Pesukim in Parshas Miketz. Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamt for them. Meaning that he had dreamt that the time would come that his brothers would concede to him that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls every matter of this world in all of its areas. Even Daimim Tzemeach and Chai. This concept of Echod, that the Aleph and the Ches, this combination of Shechina v'Tachtonim, applies to all four areas of this world. Now, as of yet, they have not yet conceded to him. Vayomer aleihem, so he says to them, Miraglim atem, you are still Miraglim. You are still people that attribute matters of this world to regilus, to habit, to happenstance, to nature. Leroy says, Ervas Ha'aretz Basem. You still believe that there is a concept of Ervas Ha'aretz. You believe that there's actually a place in this world that is bereft and naked of godliness. To which they respond, Kulanu b'nei ish echod nachnu. We are all the sons of a person who believes in the concept of echod. They didn't say that they believed in it. They said we are all the sons of a person who believes in the concept of Echad, meaning that the Rabbeinu Shlomo does control every aspect of this world. And Yosef understood what they were saying, and they were saying that only their father believes in this, and they do not. Therefore, Yosef answers, it seems I can tell from your words that you still believe in the concept of Erevas Haaretz, that there is a place that Haaretz is naked of godliness. To which they respond, true. And they answer like this, your 12 servants, Achim Anachnu. We are Achim. We are people that believe in Ach. We don't believe in the Dalet. Achim Anachnu. We only believe in the Aleph Ches. We believe in Shechinah B'Tachtoinim, but not in all four areas of this world. And they continue. B'nei Ish Echad. We are Achim, but we are the sons of a person of Echad. We are the sons of a person that does believe in the Dalet. V'hine akotan. Now, but the small areas of Doimim, Tzemeach, and Chai, Esavinu Hagayim, that is still with our father. V'ha'echad einenu. But the Echad does not exist with us. We still have not yet accepted the Echad. To which Yosef responds, that's exactly what I was telling you, that you are Meraglim. That you are people that attribute matters of this world to Regilus. And finally, they actually came to the point where Yosef's brothers bowed down to him, and yet they finally conceded to Yosef to this concept of Echad. Perhaps this is what transpired when Yaakov called in all of his sons in Parshas Vayechi, and Nistalka Mimeno Yishchina. The Shechinah departed from him. And to Yaakov, this was a sign that there might be, that one of his children might not yet believe in this concept that the Shechinah dwells in all matters of this world, and that is why the Shechinah departed from him. So the children all declared, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then they added, don't think, Father, that we don't believe in what you believe in. K'shem she'en b'libcha ela echad, just like in your heart, you are certain about this concept of echad, that shechinah b'tachtoinim, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is connected to this physical world in all of its four aspects. Doimim tzemeach chayim edaber, kach in b'libeinu ela echad. We have accepted this fully. We have conceded to Yosef. And we all subscribe to the same shita, to the same belief in Emunah. And this is when Yaakov responded, Baruch Shem Kavoid Malchus Ayla Ilam Voet. This is true Malchus. When a person realizes that the Rabbeinu Shlomo is in control of every aspect of this world, that his malchus, that his kingdom, and his majesty prevails throughout all of creation. That is true Malchus Shemayim. And that was Yaakov's declaration of Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Adoylam Vod. Now we can understand what Yaakov was saying to Yosef. Va'ani nasati l'cha, I have given you Shechem Achad al Achecha. Shechem is the first letter, is an acronym of Shem Kvoid Malchusai. I have given you shame, meaning I taught you. Yosef, you were the first one that I taught this concept of shame, kvoid malchusoi, that Hashem's malchus permeates the entire Bria. And that is Shechem Achad, the Shechem which is Aleph Ches Dalet, the shame, kvoid malchusoi, which is represented by the Aleph Ches Dalet, Shechina B'tachtoinim, in all of its aspects. And that is al achecha, that is over the concept of achecha, of your ach. Before I taught you this, all you believed in was aleph ches. I gave you the shechem, which is shem kvod malchusoi, achad, aleph ches dalet, al achecha, which is over the aleph ches that you only had until then. This was the message that Yaakov taught Yosef, and the brothers finally conceded to Yosef at the end. So this is specifically by Hasidim, is one of the Ikrei Amuna, something that we believe in, Amuna Shalema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elekeinu Hashem Echad, that the Rebbeinu Shleilam is involved in every aspect of this world. And as Baal Shem Tov said, not a straw doesn't move without Ashkocha Pratis. And the next time we say Kriya Shema, or every time we say Kriya Shema, when we say Echad, we have to know what Echad means. And when we say Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Eloilam Voed, it's the Rebbeinu Shleilam's Malchus permeates the entire world. In all of its aspects. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.